We turn now to our sermon text, which is in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 22. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Lord God in heaven, we recognize that these words before us come with a seeming innocuous nature of simply a man procrastinating. But Heavenly Father, we know that the words which Paul preached to him were the words of life. The opportunities that were given to him were rare and amazing and wonderful and not to be squandered. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would grant that none of these words would fall to the ground, and none of those hearers, those listening at this moment, would let this opportunity pass, but rather, Lord, that they would seize upon it in order to listen and to believe to their salvation. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we carry on in our study of the book of Acts, now in chapter 24, in this last portion, verses 22 to the end. And this section deals with the time after Paul's defense before Felix and before the next step in his journey. This period ended up being 2 years, a lot longer, I think, than Paul or we imagined as we began this chapter. And the subject matter is very much in terms of time, very much about the use of time. We're focusing on what is said in verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Convenient time. Now that word, convenient time, is one word in Greek. It is kairos, and it is a hugely important concept in the New Testament. It means the due time, the right time, the appointed time, the opportune time. Christ came at the kairos, at the right time, when all was made ready for him. Christ died at the kairos, Matthew 26:18, and he said, "The teacher said, 'My time is at hand, my kairos. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And of course, the Passover was his own Passover, and all the Passovers that had ever been were only pointing to that appointed time, that one day that Christ would lay down his life for a sheep. And Christ rose at the kairos, that appointed time of the third day, just as prophecy had foretold. So there's nothing wrong with the kairos, the appointed time, the right time to do something. The only problem is that Felix wasn't really looking for that right time. He was procrastinating. He was, in fact, famous for it. I don't know what your Bible says, but in this section it says Felix procrastinates. That's what we know him for. And for, in his mind, the convenient time to listen more to Paul and perhaps to believe was always a little later on than what it is now. He didn't know exactly when, but it was going to be a little bit later from now. He
Because there were certain things that somehow or another made it inconvenient for him to proceed at the moment. Now, he wasn't ready to close the door prematurely. He'd eventually get around to things, just not right now. And God was amazingly patient and merciful to him. And as I said, this carried on for 2 years. But time eventually ran out even for him. And he was suddenly removed from his post, recalled to Rome. And there would be no more opportunity for him or for his wife. And friends, Felix reminds us that life is uncertain. Felix was wrong. The convenient time to hear the gospel and to believe it is not a little later, some other point, not now. It is now. That's the convenient, the appointed time. Well, the title of this sermon is A Convenient Time. Three simple points. A little later, not now, and now. Again, from Felix's perspective regarding the things that he was procrastinating about, it was always a little later. That's our first point. Or especially with regard to the gospel, it's not now, which is our second point. But friends, the appointed time to hear and to believe is in fact, as I say in our third point, now. Well, the first point, a little later. Felix's main problem was that he procrastinated. And I just want to take in this first point an overview then, in four separate times in this fairly brief passage, that Felix puts things off for a little later on. Verse 22, but when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision in your case. So that's procrastination number one. Why? Because he was waiting for another witness in order to provide more evidence, apparently. And that might seem to be reasonable. However, there doesn't seem to be anything specifically that Lysias can add here. All right? The Jews are not asking him to prove something. The Jews have said, look, this man came with great violence and took Paul away from us. But it's true, and no one's disputing that. And likewise, Paul says the very same thing with regard to Lysias and his role in these things, and no one's disputing that either. So the Jews aren't asking him to bear witness to anything. Paul's not asking him to bear witness to anything. But waiting for further evidence before making a verdict does appear to be reasonable. And it's only as things go on that we understand that he's just procrastinating. Let me say, by the way, as an aside, as a practical point, that our procrastination always begins with something that seems reasonable, and until the reasons become more threadbare over time. Now in verse 24, we read, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. So this is procrastination number two. Right? This time it's not about rendering judgment in Paul's case, but about the gospel that Paul preached. Why does he put it off? Pretty simply, he was afraid. He was feeling convicted about his sin. And we'll speak more about this in the second point. But for now, the point is that the right time for Felix was always a little later on. So that was the second procrastination. The third, verse 26. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. So actually, this, as I say, this third procrastination is a series of them. He sent for Paul more often and heard from him on numerous occasions. Now, I'm going to say that I think Felix was given more and better opportunities to hear the Christian gospel than just about anyone in all of Scripture. What a privilege. And yet he keeps putting things off, doesn't he? And here we see another reason for it. Another reason for his procrastination is because he wanted a bribe. Well, lots of officials in the ancient world did that, even as they do today. But the point is, now there's a monetary reason not to bring things to a point. And again, this is so often involved in people's decision-making with regard to the gospel, that somewhere out there they imagine they're going to be missing out on the material things of life, and that coming to faith in Christ and becoming a Christian will mean that these things are taken away from them. The opportunity for these good material things will be gone. So this plays into, then, his continual procrastination. There is always, for Felix, another day, another opportunity, whether to hear evidence or to hear the gospel or hopefully to receive a bribe. Always another day for him. And finally, in verse 27, after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Again, we're going to think about how Felix, how his opportunities came to a sudden end in the next point. My point here is just this, that after 2 years of procrastination, his last act as governor is more procrastination, is to leave Paul bound, rather than even to take the opportunity of his being removed from his post to finally do the right thing. Once again, the time for Felix to decide the case is a little later. In this case, because he wanted to do the Jews a favor. Well, Felix, just like so many of us, had many reasons to procrastinate. But none of those things did him any good, and it won't do us any good either. Well, from Felix's perspective, it was always a little later. And our second point, not now. Because let's just focus on the most important issue here, not really Paul's case from Felix's perspective. That wasn't the most important issue. It was Felix's response to the gospel. And Felix's response seems to be not now. Verse 24, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Great. Again, this is a wonderful thing. This is not automatic for any Roman governor that he would listen in this way. And he is given an opportunity. He calls for Paul and wants to tell me about this way. I know something of it. He says, in fact, that the Bible mentions that he has an accurate understanding of the way. But I want to know more about it. That's a great idea, Felix. Paul comes and does what he gets to do, his great privilege, which is to precisely to testify before kings and those in authority of the Christian gospel. And Felix gets to hear this explanation of the Christian gospel from the lips of the Apostle Paul, along with his wife. That's amazing. That's as good as it gets. And what does he do with it? This wonderful opportunity, he wastes it. It's a wasted opportunity. We read in verse 25, now as he reasoned about righteousness, because again, this is not a cult, this is not a religion of fanatics. This is a reasonable faith that we have. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. Felix was afraid, and it's not hard to see why he was afraid, because Felix was a sinner. He was worse than most, actually, because not only was he guilty of the private sins that so many of us would be guilty of, as the governor, he was guilty of pitting many people to death, and some of them wrongfully so, and or imprisoning and or depriving them of their goods, and sometimes he enriched himself on that. He was a wicked man. And when Paul talks about the righteous requirements of the law, the Ten Commandments and all their implications, he is reminded that he's not kept God's law. And worse, Paul is specifically reminding him about a fear that lurks deep within every sinner, that there might be a judgment day, that I might be held accountable for these sins that I've done in the sight of God and in people, and which sinners like himself will be condemned to hell forever. And Paul speaks of that judgment to come because that was part of his gospel message, just like on Mars Hill, where he demonstrates that there is a judgment day coming, and that he has appointed a man, the man Christ Jesus, to be the judge of the living and the dead, and he has proven that by raising him from the dead. And so he preached to Felix and to his wife Drusilla, and Felix was afraid. Now, the sad thing is that you and I know what was next coming in that gospel presentation. You and I know that the bad news is only the preface to the good news that Paul was about to preach. He explained the human problem just so that Felix would come to a position of conviction before he then gave the solution to the human problem in the gospel. But Felix didn't give him the opportunity. He dismissed him. For now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. But friends, and he did. He called for him later, but friends, it never seems that after that he ever came to that conviction again. He had wasted the most precious thing that can be found on this earth. It's not the silver or gold that he wanted to get from Paul in the form of a bribe. It was his conviction of sin, something not to be missed. And if God ever grants that you likewise feel uncomfortable, that you feel afraid of the judgment to come, you dare not miss that opportunity. Your day has come to use that to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn away from sin and the pathway to destruction. Now, I would say that God would have been more than just never to have given Felix another opportunity, but as I mentioned, he was given other opportunities. Verse 26, therefore he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But no hint that he ever again came to any kind of conviction of his sin, and certainly no hint that he believed. And what then? What then? After all these opportunities, which every time the answer or the response is, not now, not now. When the conviction of the Holy Spirit rises up in his heart, he says, not now. And from that period on, even as Paul brings to mind and explains the Christian gospel, no matter how clear it comes to him, his answer is not now. But in verse 27, after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix. Now, why was that? The Bible doesn't say. It's not extremely important. But we know from history that Felix was recalled to Rome to face the judgment, in fact, by the emperor, to face accusations that he had misused his power and that he apparently was accused of, quote, using a dispute between the Jews and the Syrians of Caesarea as a pretext to slay and plunder the inhabitants. Even the Romans had their standards, and he had gone too far for that, and so he was called away from this office, relieved of duty. Apparently someone intervened in his case, and he was not punished, but nonetheless he was suddenly removed from the situation, never to return. Now, he wasn't planning on that. I imagine he thought he'd be in office for another till the rest of his life, which was often the case. And he had many years left. He wasn't an old man at this point. But no, he had lost his opportunity forever. So that not now became not ever for Felix. And friends, that's what I fear for some of you, that the not now soon enough becomes not ever. And what about his wife Drusilla? Now that's an amazing story. Drusilla and their son died nearly 20 years later in Pompeii, which is the ultimate example of an inconvenient time. You know, not one of those people in Pompeii imagined that this would be their last day on earth. There they were, and you see all the accoutrements of normal and luxurious life to be found there. Along with Pliny the Elder, there was just this one person of note there, Drusilla, this wife of Felix, and she died suddenly, and there was never another opportunity for her. Friends, not now soon enough becomes not ever. So what then is a convenient time? What if Felix's notion of always putting it off another day or saying not now is incorrect, then what is the right time to listen and to believe? The answer is now, friends. Felix is always putting things off, and even with the most important thing in life, it was not now until it was too late. For Drusilla, not now until she dies at Pompeii. When's a convenient time? When is the kairos? When is the appointed time for now? The answer is now. 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the day, the accepted time, the kairos. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Friends, what can we say about that? Opportunities, you see, are limited. God does not strive with anyone for an unlimited period of time. Eventually, those opportunities come to an end because they are precious. Christ himself says, do not cast your pearls before swine. And he is speaking to those who would precisely have the job of going and preaching the gospel to others. And what he specifically says on more than one occasion is that you give people a fair chance to hear the gospel. But after they have trampled it underfoot, meaning that they haven't received it, they've rejected it, that eventually you remove that opportunity. Because God is too holy, too righteous, too pure, too set apart to allow his precious things to be trampled upon. And so now, friends, now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Why? As I say, there are three specific reasons why now is the time. One is just because you never know when you'll have another opportunity. In Felix's case, he didn't actually die, and nor did Judgment Day come quite yet. He lived for many years thereafter. But that was his last, as far as we know, his last opportunity to actually hear the Christian gospel. Okay? He was suddenly removed from that situation and place, and never, as far as we know, again to hear the gospel. I only point this out again because I know that there are some watching who are under the specific opportunity of coronavirus lockdown, have been brought to hear the gospel. And who knows what happens after this. All right, that's one reason, because the opportunities for hearing the gospel may suddenly disappear and not reappear. The second reason is that death is coming for us all, and we don't know when. Right, this would be more particularly applicable to Drusilla on that amazing day that her world came to an end there at Pompeii. But this is true for everyone. Luke 12:16. Then he, that is Jesus Christ, spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will be those things which you have provided? Fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. You see, this rich farmer was imagining that he would always have another day. And his focus right now should be on material things, even sort of like Felix, who was only playing with Paul in order, hoping to get a bribe from him. Now God knows that death comes suddenly to people. And at all times we should be reminded of that in these days. Fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. Then, whose will be those things that you have provided? Meaning that you have invested so much regarding your material prosperity, your situation in this world, but you're not going to stay in this world forever. You're going to go to a different world. And the question is, how are you going to provide for yourself in that world? In hell, I'm afraid, there is not much that anyone can do for you. And nothing that you have in this life is going to be of any comfort for you there. So opportunities are limited. Death is coming to people, and we don't know when. People die suddenly all the time. I was actually watching As we're all watching more YouTube these days, I was actually watching this amazing situation of a man who had to land a twin turboprop airplane, a King Air. He had never flown one before. He had only flown a little Cessna maybe 20 years ago and really didn't know what he was doing. But he prayed. He was a man of God, and the Lord blessed him and enabled him to land this plane perfectly, actually. It was a beautiful landing. But the thing is, the reason why he had to do that is because there was a dead man in the cockpit next to him. That the pilot of this charter aircraft, which he had taken, suddenly died shortly after takeoff. And he was gone. For him, he got into that cockpit expecting this was yet another in hundreds and hundreds of flights that he had taken. And today would be no different than any other. But he would not arrive at his destination alive. And friends, life is uncertain. Death is coming. And then I would say that Christ is coming. Because even beyond the uncertainty in this life of how long we might live, and none of us know how long we have, even beyond that, we don't know how long the world has. Because this world doesn't remain forever. And Jesus Christ says in Mark 13, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the kairos is." You do not know when the time, the appointed hour of my return is. And we don't. It could be at any moment. That's one of the reasons why we put no stock in these people who set dates, who imagine that say that Christ is coming at such and such a date or month or whatever year. Because he could come at any time. He hasn't told us when. He's told us to be ready. And he says he's coming quickly. It's one of the last things. In fact, he says in all of Scripture, "Behold, I come quickly." And we have to believe it. Now, friends, I understand that we don't think that the end of the world is anytime near. And the Bible specifically says that they will continue on sowing and reaping and marrying and giving in marriage up until the very day that this happens. But we need to understand that this world has an expiration date known to God, and it really could be at any time. So friends, what do we say about that? The time is now. And that's really my application. The applications, although I guess there's three of them, they all amount to the same, that now is the time. So first of all, now is the time to listen, right? Hear out the gospel. Don't turn it off. At the moment of your conviction, wait for the good stuff. If I've spoken to you of the reality of God's law and the fact that you're a sinner and that judgment day is coming, don't stop there. Don't be offended by those things. The point is to bring you to a place where you then want to do something about it, right? Instead of Felix procrastination, we want you to be proactive, right? If you just leave things off another day, another day, another day, that is the pathway to hell. But God has given something to do, which is to believe in this gospel that I mentioned. You see, Christ died so that you don't have to. Christ was judged so that you don't have to be judged. Christ endured the wrath of God, the equivalent of hell, for an eternity, so that you don't have to. Now is the time to listen to that gospel and to understand it. And if you have questions, to do what Felix really ought to have and ask sincere questions of the Apostle Paul. I'm always available, as are the other ministers of this church and elders and other Christian people. Understand at least the gospel. Give it a chance. Now is the time to listen. And secondly, I'd say now is the time to believe. Because it's sort of like Felix as well, that sometimes people say, well, I'll wait to decide about the Christian faith until I know a little bit more. I'll read another book. Maybe I'll read some atheist perspective. Maybe I'll read Dawkins. And maybe then I'll read somebody's reply to Dawkins. Friends, you know what you need to know already. Okay? You don't need to know a single thing more than what you've already heard. You're a sinner. Life is uncertain. You could be in hell this very night. Repent and believe the gospel. It's as simple as that. Jesus Christ lived that perfect life on your behalf. He died as an atoning sacrifice on your behalf. And he rose again the third day in accordance with Scripture to demonstrate and to prove once and for all that this salvation works, that it was accepted before the Father. And all you have to do is receive it in faith. Not trust in yourself to save yourself, because that's not going to work, but trust in Christ to save you, and you will not be turned away. You will be saved. Now is the time to believe it. When's a convenient time? Right? When are you going to get around to it? Friends, if you have any kind of conviction, any kind of inclination to believe, now is definitely the time to believe it. Because so far from thinking that things are going to get, as it were, that, well, maybe not quite now, but I've gotten to this point, and maybe next time we'll get to this point, and next time we'll get to this point. It really doesn't work that way. Because God doesn't always dwell with us in such a way. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is a precious commodity, and sometimes it never comes back. So take the opportunity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to believe. I wonder what we would ask, I wonder what Felix would say if we asked him now, if we could speak to him in hell, as we presume that he is in. And we ask him, Felix, what do you think? You know, were those good reasons that you kept putting this off? What do you think? I'm sure he would say with tears in his eyes that none of those reasons were close to being a good reason to put things off even another moment. And he regrets with everything within him that he ever put that off another day. And he would have seized upon any opportunity now if he could change it. Friends, now is the time to believe. And I'll remind us again that the time really is at hand. That in all of our thinking, we should never let go of this basic fact that the end could be at any time. And that goes for Christians as well as those who are not yet believers, right? For those who are not yet believers, the great point for you is now's the day to believe, because you don't know how much longer the world has, let alone you individually. But beloved, the same is true of us. And it must be part of our daily, ongoing calculus. Part of the way that we live is that we don't know how much longer we have. Now, this means everything to us. None of us would have imagined at the start of this year that things would be as they are. I mean, who could possibly have imagined the things that we have seen transpire in this year? It's crazy. And are we really so certain that we're going to all be here at the end of this year? Are we so utterly certain? Or is it possible that what God says just might happen? That eventually this world will come to an end? Friends, we need to be ready. And for some, that means we ought to repent and believe. And for the rest of us, it means that we ought to be living the kind of lives that God has called us to. Seeking to glorify Him, seeking to serve one another, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, seeking to have a close walk with the Lord, not always waiting for another day, another year, maybe when we're done with A-levels, or maybe when we're done with university, or maybe when we get a little better established in our career, maybe after we have kids, maybe after the kids leave home, that we eventually decide to be the kind of Christian that we know that we ought to be. Friends, today is the day, because the end is at hand. The kairos to do what God has called us to do is now. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, your mercy and grace are amazing. The fact that you dwelled and enabled your servant Paul to continue on with Felix for so long, for 2 years. What an amazing mercy. But eventually that opportunity certainly did run out for him and for his wife. And Lord, we pray that we would learn good lessons from this procrastination, and that we would truly understand that the right time, the appointed time, to listen to the gospel and to believe it is not a little while later, is not something to be put off and say, not now, but no, it is now. And Lord God, how we pray that in the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, all who hear this message would believe it, and all of your people would determine that we would live as we know we ought to live before you, even now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.